Want entertainment designed just for you? Then check out customizable streaming TV from Xfinity. It makes your life simple, easy, awesome.
Xfinity gives you customizable streaming TV options. Enjoy the most free shows anywhere on any device, and even access your streaming apps right on your TV with X1. Go to Xfinity.com, call 1-800-XFINITY, or visit a store today to learn more. Restrictions apply.
Hey guys, it's Keith.
And this is Jesse.
From New Player Has Joined.
Guys, if you're familiar with Banter, the comedy app that lets you in on conversations between hilarious comedians, the people who made Banter have now made the Banter Minute. If you're a true crime fan, go to banterminute.com/truecrime, and you'll get a one-minute rundown of some cool and interesting true crime stuff every day.
I mean, the East Side Strangler just got caught. You want to know that immediately.
If you're a person who likes murder.
I love murder.
So guys, banterminute.com/truecrime. Just go there, subscribe. You'll get a one-minute quick rundown that'll make your day a lot better. Check it out, guys. banterminute.com/truecrime.
Welcome back to Weird Adults. Hi, Fahim.
Hi, Esther.
How Anwar. Are
you? I'm doing my NPR voice for you.
Anwar Hadid is the name of a famous model.
Really?
Did you know that?
That was
Anwar.
Gigi.
No, and there is
There's two
Gigi.
Hadids?
There's so many Hadids.
Well, is that sort of like the Lil in the hip-hop community?
No.
Like Lil Wayne and...
No, but they have a baby brother, Anwar Hadid, who's like a hot model.
Whoa.
And for a second, I was like... Is your first name Anwar? But it's not.
It can be used as a first name, though.
Yeah, now I know that.
Uh-huh.
Wait, what nationality are you?
Afghan.
100%?
I like that we've known each other for years, and like, this is how we learn.
I definitely knew that.
It's just, it was somewhere in the kebab belt, right?
I haven't seen you in so long and actually had a real conversation with you probably since like 2010.
I know.
That's disgusting.
I mean, it's always fun. I always like love seeing you and catching up. But
yeah. My like favorite memory that's coming to mind first, which I don't know why I said favorite. It's just a memory of sitting on a Monday night, like sitting in the back of the Comedy Store. Just it's like 12:30, and we're just waiting to go up. And
that was our lives.
Yeah, it's just like
just
hey,
runt
man.
Of the litter trying to come up. I remember doing acting class with you, and just sort of like.
Oh my god. We were testing, right?
Well, because we were the only two stand-ups in the acting class.
Yes.
And everybody else is drinking the Kool-Aid. Because they have nothing else going on.
Were you kind of drinking the Kool-Aid? I feel like...
No.
No, okay.
No, I don't think
I went back after that first day.
I did it for like a month
right.
or two. And then I just felt like they were bilking me for money.
Yeah.
And I'd already booked some
that
jobs.
That place is such a... It's known for that. They're like, they mind fuck you.
Or some people, I think, like actors who... don't have other stuff going on.
Yeah.
Like they'll make a vision board. They'll cut out magazine clippings.
Well, I am susceptible to that. I'll do that.
I won't do that. I'm busy. I got shit to do.
See, I'm not above that. I do vision boards. Like I buy into that, but that specific acting school we were at, I like could sense something was very wrong.
Yeah. People would like cry in the class and stuff. And like as comics, we're just kind of like laughing.
I know. That was actually so much fun.
Yeah.
I feel like we were texting each other in the middle
of
it.
Like jokes. Yeah. While people are doing stuff.
That was a really hard laugh that I can remember, but I wish I knew what it was, but I tend to drink the Kool-Aid if it's a woman acting class, like if it's a woman leading it, but because it was a man, there's something that I like felt, I don't know, I was I see through your shit.
Do you think it's like a juxtaposition of a man doing like feel good stuff that you don't buy into, whereas if a woman's doing it, like tapping into your energy and shit like that doesn't sound as good coming out of a guy?
I don't know if that's interesting. I think it just has to do with what I'm personally vulnerable to. And like, I want a deep female connection or a female, a strong female mentor so badly that like I'll look past like a scam.
Yeah.
But for a man, I'm like, I fucking see your shit, man.
Well, maybe because like guys have been trying to fuck you for years. So it's like
Well...
I think women have to deal with being approached more so than guys.
I guess it's easier
so you have to have
to see,
your antennae are up.
Yeah. Whereas, although I don't think he was trying to fuck me. I think
still, even subconsciously, just maybe trying whenever to a guy's you. Talking to a girl, you're like, what's your angle?
Yeah, what's your angle?
Because it's never, you can't be like, oh, this guy's genuine every time.
Right. Yeah, I guess you can. Maybe there's a piece of that. Maybe now I'm so confused because I actually also think that no man is ever talking to me because he wants to fuck me. And I think that's even a different weird.
I don't think that's true. I think that's just indicative of how you perceive yourself.
Yes. No, I agree. It is. It's like yeah. I have the same thing.
I don't know why anyone would like more like whenever like a girl likes me, I'm like, why? What's wrong with
them? Yeah.
Yeah.
What's wrong with them? And I also think that, oh, they just want to be my friend. That's like
that's kind of funny. I never think that. I never think like they just want to be friends with me.
No, that's which is its own problem because then I'll like talk to someone for a while and like feel like we're becoming friends, and then like later someone's like, "No, Esther, like you have to wake up and smell the roses. That you're a sex object."
You have to be reminded. Yeah. That you're a sex object.
But I think that because that's one of the, and I use this word loosely, but that's a luxury of my friendship with Benji, mm-hmm. because we are best friends, but he definitely does not want to fuck me. And so I think that I have like, I take that life experience and apply that to all other people. And I'm like, they just want to be my friend, but I don't think that's the case for everybody. I know it's not.
Yeah, that's hard to find.
I know I'm a sex object.
The platonic friendship.
Yeah. Do you have a platonic female friend?
No.
I mean, me, but we don't hang out.
Right. Like, yeah, not like a day to day. Not like you and Benji.
Yeah. There's no one quite like me and Benji. No. This is just me and...
You know, people talk about it all the time. Like, we're just chasing that. They're like, yeah, I have the love thing down, but I just want that platonic friendship with...
I just want that
the
person I hate.
The friendship is so elusive. Yeah, I'm madly in love with this person and it's great, but that platonic man-woman friendship is what I want.
Wait, so... Oh. Bleep that. I was about to say the name of the acting studio.
Yeah, just bleep it. It'll be really funny. Keep it in so that people will know that you fucked up.
Yeah.
But no one has to know.
Yeah. Anyway, I totally forgot about acting class. That's such a good memory. Thank you for reminding me of it. Wait, so you had just released your first stand-up special.
I did.
That's fucking awesome.
It's cool. Yeah, it's a nice bucket list thing. Or as stand-ups, we have these milestones.
Yeah.
And that's a big one that it's nice to finally have. You know, like late night's one of them. You did that.
Yeah.
Like that's a big moment.
You did that, right?
Yeah, I've done that.
You did.
I've done two. I did Seth was my first one.
Yeah, I remember that. That was so cool.
And then Conan. And then, yeah, the special is kind of the next thing.
What do you feel like are the stand-up bucket lists, like, or check
things to do?
Yeah.
All right.
Teach me what to do.
It's hard because, like, where do you want to start? So,
right.
Like, from open mics, I would say getting on a booked show is a milestone.
Yeah.
Right? So, being asked to do a show instead of just signing up and getting drawn or something.
Right.
So, doing a booked show and then getting paid to do comedy is a milestone. Then I would say getting on a flyer that doesn't, where your name is on it instead of and more. You know what I mean? Because a lot of times it'll have names of comics to draw people, and then you'll be in the and more.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That, and then I would say, let's see. I mean, there's other, I guess.
I'm thinking, can I join
in? Yeah, jump in.
I'm thinking Montreal is somewhere
That's
soon.
One. Yeah, yeah. Or I was trying to do more petty ones before we got to the big stuff, like industry.
Let's do more petty ones.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I guess somebody using an Instagram photo of you on stage to promote the show. No, like a Jay Davis Instagram post.
Oh, these are like past
these
my
time. These are very
time.
LA ones.
No,
yeah,
these
yeah.
ones I never even had.
Okay.
I definitely went to Montreal before someone used my Instagram. I don't think I had Instagram. No, I don't know.
Yeah, let's jump up. So Montreal's the next one.
Okay. Which famously,
new faces.
You famously showcased for like a million times,
right? I don't
know about
famously, but if anyone asks, yeah, I did it like 7 or 8 times.
Which is crazy.
That kind of
stuck with me as to like, oh.
I'm just one of those dudes who's been like, I've like hit a wall a million times for some of these milestones.
Yeah.
And I'm like a funny guy, but everyone's path is so different. And.
Because you. Yeah. Are very fucking funny.
Well, that's nice.
Like,
thank
you're
you.
Every stand-up's favorite stand-up. Like, everyone loves you.
Thanks.
So that's why it's so encouraging.
I guess inspiring that you know, even, like, younger comics who maybe look up to me or you or to hear about the struggles that even we have are...
It's the best feeling,
Fuel
honestly.
To keep going and know that nobody's... I mean, some people's paths are easier than others, but like there's strife no matter where you are.
Yeah, that's definitely like I said, like that's a big deal and like a very encouraging thing to know that you auditioned to be on Montreal New Faces like 6 or 7 times. Yeah. It is. It's
and like same thing with the half hour for Comedy Central. I submitted 7 years or 8 years and just said, they said no every time. Even after I had Guy Code, did Seth Meyers, did the Tina Fey movie, Whiskey Tango Foxtrot, still no.
Wow.
Yeah. This just shows you like...
And you never
people,
got it.
Yeah, I never got the half.
I didn't
But
either.
Then I didn't care about it because right. I was beyond it and like I had an hour I wanted to do, which yeah. is you know why I did this thing. But it just goes to show you that the people in these positions of power are just... They're people. They're mm-hmm. a person. They're one person with taste
yeah.
of their own and you can't fault them for... whoever they choose.
Yeah.
But it just happens to be their taste and they're in a position of power. So if you don't fall within that, there's nothing you can do. But
and
there's
you also
tons of other
can't
avenues.
Let that dictate how you feel and how your career
yeah,
goes.
Yeah, you can't let somebody else validate yourself because I have all these other data points to go off of like my peers, like you liking what I'm doing and the response that I'm getting at the clubs and stuff. Like if you're not delusional, you have a pretty good... I don't know, I guess, data point of where you are in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah. No, I that's such an inspiring thing for me to always, like, remember and talk about because there are things that I've been rejected for very recently that
yeah.
they still sting and it hurts, but...
Our life is just a lesson in rejection. This yeah. whole industry that we've chosen, you're going to have great things. You're going to get rejected. That's just part
yeah.
of it. You're not going to be perfect for everything.
Yeah. I know I talk about this all the time, but my dad... said that my best is like my greatest skill is my ability to handle or my best talent is my ability to handle rejection and it sounds silly
oh, yeah.
but it's like
no.
wait he's actually right that's so true
it's kind of great that we came from stand up because so much rejection even just when it comes to trying out a new joke you really learn how to pick up the pieces
to
or analyze
back.
Yeah to bounce back
yeah.
and instead of being decimated as a human being you're like why didn't that joke work let me tweak it. So then it becomes like water on a duck's back rejection.
Yeah.
You just use it for the next thing to
yeah.
learn.
Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely, it is a skill. Handling rejection is a fucking skill and I've got it for a little bit. So yeah, you did your hour. You recorded it here mm-hmm. in LA.
Yeah. Glendale.
Glendale. And is it a full hour?
Full hour. Hour 4 minutes if you look at the runtime.
What? Yeah. Did you do other fun stuff in there or is it just stand-up?
It's just straight stand-up. Although Lance makes an appearance at the end.
Okay, can yeah, we yeah. talk about,
sure,
about
yeah.
Lance?
Yeah.
How would you explain what who Lance is?
Lance.
Is he your alter ego?
Sure,
is he
yeah, yeah, yeah.
your Chris Gaines, if you will?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, there's things like... There's things Lance can do that I can't do.
Yeah.
There's some jokes that are just too off color or misogynistic or...
And Lance, how would you explain...
Lance, he goes up in a wife beater. He has a mullet.
Yeah.
Tight jeans.
And this
dances
is a character
yeah, yeah,
that
yeah.
you do.
Yeah, so...
He's yeah. a fan favorite.
People like him.
He's a dancer. He's not
He's
a stand-up,
a dancer.
Right?
He's just an entity, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So he goes up usually halfway throughout the show and the OR at the Comedy Store and...
Oh, he performs at the Comedy Store.
Yeah, quite regularly.
Instead of you.
Yeah.
Wow.
He was there Saturday. Usually every Saturday he'll be there.
What time about?
Around midnight.
Okay.
He's like a gremlin. So, yeah, they introduce him. He dances for like a minute up top, just really let loose. And
yeah.
then just kind of takes questions from the audience. And it's fun because it's just everyone knows that it's this shared experience in the room and that nothing is sort of calculated and... Whatever happens, happens. And
yeah.
It's a high wire act.
Isn't it weird how that, just the fact that something is happening live and in front of you and is like just that level of special makes something
funnier.
Yeah. And
for sure.
Yeah. More exciting and like a true experience. Cause I'm someone that loves just sit at home and do nothing and I'll watch the live feed or I'll watch it later, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're there and like there in the moment, it's
yeah,
so
there's
much
nuances,
different.
There's timing.
You
there's...
feel a part of an experience.
Yeah, and I think that's what's exciting about Lance is that, like, when I do a joke or something, is me, I've thought about it, it's well constructed, it'll get a big laugh and stuff, and you're like, because there's these logic gates that you go through, and there's a turn and all this stuff, there's structure to it. But then there's a different type of laugh where something's just spontaneous and happens in the room where you know there was nothing premeditated about
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
that is, it's just a different, like almost pure laugh.
Yeah. Cause I have this tendency to hate on the things that I do. So for a while when I was doing stand up, I was like, I hate this. It's stupid. There's TV and there's movies. Why would someone go out to a comedy club? This is so fucking stupid. I'm stupid.
That was your opener.
Yeah.
You're like, now let me try these jokes.
And now I'm like, wait, that was crazy. Like being in a live comedy show is like a magical experience and it's so much fun and you're like connecting with people. You're in the audience, like you're connected, you're getting to learn about different, I don't know, I just now have so much appreciation for it after I hated it for so long, like a fucking hater.
Yeah, and I'm sure the shows are much better now that you have an appreciation for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, when I'm just like enjoying that it's a live experience for sure.
Hey, weird adults. Today's episode is brought to you by Audible.com. Audible has the best audiobook performances, the largest library, and the most exclusive content, and you'll feel something when you listen. Learn more at audible.com/weirdadults, where you can get 30 days free and one free audiobook. It's awesome, and just so you know, I'm right now reading Missoula. I think it's a must read, and it's super easy to digest if you're listening to it on Audible. I'm also highly, highly, extremely, beyond above recommend you read or listen to on Audible, So You've Been Publicly Shamed by John Ronson. If you are of the now, if you are living in the time that we're living, which I hope you are if you're listening to this, if not, please seek medical attention because you are in fact dead. But if you are living, you have to read So You've Been Publicly Shamed by John Ronson, and you can get it for free by going to audible.com/weirdadults. This book is such a necessary read because it's so relevant to the times we're living in, and I just think it's awesome. All right, guys, check it out, audible.com/weirdadults.
So you did an hour. Did you also drop an album with that?
That's coming out May.
Oh, that's
so I think
cool.
They like delayed it a bit. So they do the video first, and mm-hmm. then I think in May they're releasing the album.
And so, your special's on CISO?
It's on CISO, and then also you can get it on Amazon.
Oh, okay.
So if you type my name in Amazon, it'll pull up.
Uh-huh.
I think it's just a CISO add-on through Amazon, but some people already have Prime, and so that's been easier for them just to type my name on there and check it out.
Oh, okay. And our mutual friend Aristotle directed it.
He directed it.
What was it like working with that mastermind?
Yeah, I mean, because we've worked together on sketches so many times, and it's just great to have a buddy do it, and there's a shorthand, and it's also nice to do a solid for a friend, just mm-hmm. I want him to get going in the directing front, and I thought this would be a great credit.
That's cool. And do you still do sketches?
No, this thing happened where, like, I have a lot of YouTube stuff that we did back in the day, and it made sense to do when YouTube sketch was a viable thing. But then it's shifted away. The comedy climate has shifted away from YouTube sketch to like Instagram videos or Vine. I mean, Vine's kind of dying right now, but it's all
closed
about short.
Down, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's all about short form content, like that moment, and like memes and very Facebook videos. Nobody wants to watch SNL type sketches or
like Key and Peele
type sketches released straight to the internet. They'll watch it only if it's been on a TV show and makes it to the internet.
Right.
It's just so odd. It's this, it's almost like a vetting process that people will only watch standalone sketch on YouTube if it's been on TV before.
Like, if it has that like stamp of approval. Well,
yeah, like Schumer or Key and Peele or Chappelle or something. So it made less sense to do sketch. There was a time when it was working for us and we were getting views and stuff, but then the viewership dropped off and it's a lot of work to do all these sketches. We're running Boom. We're editing on our own. It's a labor-intensive process to be filming these beautiful sketches, too. Because Aristotle, we wouldn't just do point and shoot. He had a filmmaker's eye to these sketches. And so we're just killing ourselves for very little gain. We did it for 2 years and then we're like, it just doesn't make sense anymore.
Wait, oh my God, were we on an improv team together?
Oh yeah, shortly. well, we didn't really we just fucked around at the comedy store.
We were rehearsing,
yeah.
That was so much fun.
Yeah.
That
it was you, me, Sandy, Aristotle, Glassman.
Is that it?
Who else was in it? Somebody else too, I'm sure, like maybe two other people.
We were ahead of our time. We had one girl and one ethnic person.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty good.
No, you got Aristotle, you got me.
Oh, two.
Yeah.
But he's Greek. He's not.
He's half Iranian, half Greek, so he checks two boxes.
Mm. Is Greek considered
a thing?
Yeah.
I think so. Maybe.
I thought that's white.
Yeah, you might be right. I don't know.
It is. I don't think he checks a box for
All
us.
All right. Do you have a
box? We have a reunion. Yeah. That was really fun, actually. I wish that we still did improv at the Comedy Store during the day.
But it was like such bad improv.
With the cleaning crew.
Yeah, there's like vacuuming.
Wait, what were we talking about? We talked about Aristotle.
Right.
He's been on this podcast. I truly feel that Aristotle is like the funniest person that's ever existed.
Yeah, he's great.
He's just like an entity of hilarity.
Yeah.
So now that you did your special, what happens now with your stand-up? Do you do that stand-up anymore? Is it dead to you?
I mean, around town, it's dead. I don't want to do those bits. Like, I've been trying to retire it for a while, so it's nice to have that home for it. Yeah, I've just been doing other stuff.
Is that hard?
No, it's great. It's refreshing.
Scratch? Yeah. Because
I'm doing 10-minute, 15-minute sets around town. It's not that hard. And I already had some stuff that didn't really belong in the special. So I had it as yeast for my new stuff, pretty much. I don't want to be doing that around town. But if I have a road gig or something, maybe I'll slip some of it in just to pad out the time.
Do you feel like you miss doing sketch? Like, is that something that you still want to do?
Yeah, I love it. It's still a part of me. I still write down sketch ideas all the time. I just have them in my phone for maybe the day that I do get to do them.
It's interesting because I feel like I picture you as like a classic stand-up because you do so many spots at the clubs. Like, you're so respected amongst comedians. And I feel like sketch is this whole other world that stand-ups aren't like, it's not cool.
Uh-huh.
But you do that. It's
really?
Kind of cool. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, Neil's kind of like that, like coming from Chappelle's, but he went backwards.
That's true.
He did sketch first and then got into stand-up later.
Right.
But just from day one, I've always been a sketch and stand-up guy.
Do you feel like that's what you want to do? Like, do you want to like be pitching and maybe making those sketches like into your own version of Key and Peele?
Yeah. It's a dream come true.
That seems like...
That's what I would... Yeah.
That I feel like that's exactly what you should be doing.
Yeah. Please help me make it.
This podcast.
This is a plea. This podcast is a plea. Just whoever hears it, they'll let me do
that. Because your sketches are so fucking funny.
That's
do
nice.
You have like a dedicated site where people can go and just like find all your stuff, or do you kind of have to like fish around a little?
I guess maybe if you go to my website, I have a videos, but they're kind of pieced together throughout YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe my Slezdog account has a lot of them. And then Goatface is with me and Aristotle, Hassan, and then Asif. We were doing that for a while.
And do you only perform at the Comedy Store or where else?
No, I perform everywhere. That's my home club.
Uh-huh.
But I was at the Improv Saturday too. I'll do the Laugh Factory. I'll do some like barbershop. I'll do weird shows.
Right.
You know how it is in LA.
I sure do. Bar shows galore.
Uh-huh.
Chinese restaurants. That's a luxury in this town.
Yeah, on paper, you're like, who's going to be at this thing? And you get there and it's packed and you're like, all right.
That is so true. I did a show, the most recent show I did like that was in the backyard of a house. And I was like, this is so sad. Like, it's just going to be me and like other comedians. Uh-huh. And then it was the hottest show
was
in town.
Brouhaha or no?
I don't know. Was it
There's a lot of backyard shows now.
Really?
And then living room shows are a thing now.
I've never done that one.
I've done a few living
room Actually,
shows.
I've done, now that I think of it, I have done a couple house shows, but this one was like at a beautiful home in Silver Lake in the hills, and I just felt like out of place, but then there were all these fucking nerds there ready to laugh, and I was like, shit, yeah, this is cool.
You saw some nerds, and you're like, my demo. Perfect.
Maybe we can hang.
I did this show. I mean, I'm not super familiar with Jewish culture, but isn't there this thing where, I don't know what you call it, where like the like elder Jewish people pay for a house or they subsidize the rent so they live in these houses.
What?
I was thinking maybe you would know more about this. Like,
explain it more.
I think it's like a Jewish part of LA, maybe Fairfax or around there,
okay.
Where it's like a nicer house. And I think, you know, like 20 something Jews in their 20s, not 20 Jews. So like 20 something Jews like can live there at a reduced rate.
Oh, so that there's young Jews in the neighborhood?
Yeah, and like the only thing is they have to put on an event or like hang out once a month or...
Wait, that does sound really familiar.
I forget. It's, is it Moshe House or something or...
I don't know. I don't know, but that is sounding vaguely familiar, but it's definitely a level of Jew that I'm excluding
from.
Because
I had no idea, like, because I did this show and I didn't know it was a part of that. So it was at one of these houses.
Oh, I feel like Benji was telling me about something like
maybe.
This.
Maybe. I think it's called Moshe House or something.
That, like... Yeah, older Jewish people.
That's
like,
kind of cool.
Yeah.
Like, just to to not lose touch with your community and culture.
I totally agree. I think he was saying that like they'll set up, they'll do like free dinners for young Jewish people so that like they'll get married.
Yeah.
It's like a singles mixer thing, which I was like, at first I'm like, weird. And then I realized like, oh, that's cool to like love your culture so much that you want to make sure that people stay.
Well, such a practical idea too, just to live in a nice house at a rate that you couldn't afford as somebody that young. And all you got to do is do something culturally once or twice a month.
That's so brilliant.
That's a great deal. So this show was part of that. And it was at one of these houses.
Where was it? Like in that Fairfax area?
Kind of around there, yeah. And the stage, they put like a tarp over a treadmill. But it was a great show. So it's just one of those things where there's
a tarp over a treadmill?
Maybe there wasn't even a tarp. I think it was just a treadmill. I'm just on a treadmill.
I mean, a treadmill is very tiny.
Yeah, I think their thought was that it's slightly elevated, so this will do as a stage.
Wow.
I could have done some cardio.
Well, why were you
the
allowed there if it was an event for Jews?
Because I was the entertainment, I guess. I was like the Sammy Davis Jr.
Wow. How did it go?
Great. Yeah.
What would happen, though, if like all the Jewish girls there fell in love with you? I feel like that would be so bad for them.
I think they love their moms too much.
I don't think Jewish girls love their moms that much.
Really?
No, I think, like, I don't know. I guess it's hard for me to say because I'm not fully, really, truly Jewish, even though people say that you're not Jewish if your mom isn't Jewish. But, like, I did my 23andMe, guys, and it says 49.9% Ashkenazi Jew. Like, that has to count for something. I don't know. Mm. I'm fighting the good fight.
So, wait. Which one is Jewish, your mom or dad?
My dad is. But like, there's.
So how does that work? Is it harder to get in if, like, to be accepted as Jewish if your dad is the Jew and not the mom?
Well, there's like a part of the religion is that they say that you have to be born from a Jewish woman to be Jewish. But I'm.
What about converts? Do they not accept converts?
No, they do. But then you have to, if you're not, I guess you have to convert. That seems crazy. I don't know. It is weird. And I don't know enough. I only went to Jewish preschool and then I fucking dropped out of the religion.
In preschool?
You're
like, not for me.
I think more my dad was like, we don't want to pay for this stuff. Right, right. So, but yeah, I don't know. What? Yeah. Do you know stuff about Jewish people? Because I don't.
Not a ton. But I piece together things from shows I do. The only thing I know about your culture is from what I learn when I do shows.
Together, we can figure this out. We can use the rest of this podcast.
Yeah, I think with your dad and the shows that I do, we can really form a good picture of what Judaism's all about.
Have you done 23andMe?
What is that? Oh, it's like a
they tell you your DNA,
thing.
Yeah.
I was thinking it'd be so funny if you do that because you want to know where you're from and it comes back and it just says you have cancer. You go, oh. Oh, fuck. Thanks for the heads up, but that's not what I signed up for.
Well, they do tell you weird things about your DNA and your health, and I was so nervous about it, but it's all such bullshit. I think if people do it, there's no reason, because there's like a version of it where you just get your ancestry, and then there's another version of it where you pay more and you get like
health stuff.
But the health stuff is like sensitive to caffeine or like 8% more likely to be underweight. Like,
or
it's
hit
so
by a bus.
What?
Or like hit by a bus.
Yeah.
Like, how would you know that off my.
It's so fucking useless. Like, the information was just. Yeah, it was so stupid. But I did at least learn that I'm half Finnish, which.
That's kind of cool.
I feel good about.
Yeah. I have an idea that. If it's too pricey for you, just like go halfsies with your brother or sister, or because it's all the same thing, right?
Is it? I wonder. I don't know.
Come on, yeah. Like whoever your siblings are.
But do you always get an equal 50-50 from your parents, or do you sometimes get a little more?
Well, you both came out of the same factory made you, so how would it be different?
Well, because don't. I need to think about this because I was actually just asking this of someone yesterday. Like,
how would your brother or sister be more?
Because do you
Finnish
ever?
You.
I don't know. Do you? Is it impossible to get? Because you know, sometimes you're born and you're like, you look so much like your dad, and you're nothing like your mom.
Yeah, I wonder. I don't know. For
does
some reason, I thought it would just be the same.
I do too. But does,
do you
but
have
is there a chance that
listeners who
that,
can
yeah.
fill us in?
Is there a chance that then your breakdown is like actually you're 75% your dad and you're only 25%? That's kind of what I have expected, but no, I'm like
Yeah, I wonder, because some people will have twins and one of them looks black and the other's white.
Right.
You know, like that's happened.
But I guess that's considered something else other than ancestry. I don't know. Now we're really sounding stupid to like five people out there who know this.
Well, I don't know this stuff.
Yeah, me either. We're admitting we don't know.
Yeah.
But my sister, who's my half-sister, I guess that won't help. No, that won't help.
Yeah, she's got to get her own.
Yeah, I'm curious what she has. What hers will say. It's kind of a waste of money. I don't know how I feel about it yet.
Whatever, it's a novelty in it.
Yeah.
It's good bar talk.
Yeah,
I'm actually finished.
I at least know that I'm now what my parents said I was.
That they're not liars?
Yeah.
Like corroborate?
Well, they are liars, but at least they didn't lie about this, mm-hmm. which is somewhat...
One less thing to lie about.
I guess that's decent. So how did the taping of your special go? Were you nervous? Were you excited? How did you feel after? Because I feel like when I had those things, I'm like, I just want it to be over. I can't enjoy this. I'm so nervous. Like, what is your experience of that?
Yeah. I had two shows when you tape something like that. So first show, it was good. But the second show was just much better because you already mm-hmm. have one out of the way. But overall, I think it was just more of a celebration feel than nerves, because
you're like, I've done this years ago. Yeah.
It's one of those things of I'm beyond ready, so it's just nice to get this out of the way.
Is there any part of you that prefers that, like, are you happy that you were beyond ready, or do you wish that you would have done it sooner but then maybe not have felt that like super confidence going in?
Yeah, I don't know, like, I guess better late than too early.
Yeah.
But I definitely know it's something I could have done a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still all good, because you only get better with time. So it's still upside.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what now? Do you want to do another special?
Yeah. I mean, I want to do another one.
How soon do you think you can do that?
I mean, I can give it some time just to... I've been building quite a bit of material since.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't want to jump into it right away. Just let this one breathe.
Mm-hmm.
Let people see it.
Yeah.
And yeah, there's no rush. I could do one a year if outlets gave me that opportunity and wanted one a year from me. But I don't know if I want to do that. Maybe I would do 1.5 years or maybe two. We'll see.
And your background, you were like an engineer, right?
Yeah.
Is that correct?
Yeah.
What does that even mean?
I worked at Boeing, aerospace engineering.
Oh my God.
Yeah, in Long Beach for 3.5 years.
And then what?
Then I quit to do this full time. But I'd been doing stand-up since I was 18, before I even studied engineering and got the job. It just so happened that was my day job while I was pursuing this other thing.
So you must be very smart. And you should know if my DNA is 50-50
or not.
Yeah,
we didn't do not a lot of...
DNA.
Yeah, not a lot of biology.
What did you do at Boeing?
Stress analysis for the floor beams.
What is it? Can you explain what that is to me?
Yeah,
you look like you really don't want to.
No, I can. I just feel like it's very... Like, if this was an Uber ride, you would have stopped asking questions after I said engineer.
No, I'm genuinely curious, especially if this is I don't want to sound stupid. It's about building planes, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That... I wonder if, because I've been dying to get a flight attendant on my podcast because I'm so terrified of flying.
Right.
And I'm like looking for someone to give me facts to make me not scared. Yeah. Can that be you right now?
Maybe a little bit. Well, but what should also put you at ease is that these flight crews and flight attendants, they live in a plane. So if they're willing to do that, I think it's pretty safe.
Right.
Right?
I guess.
Like, they work on a plane. You're taking one flight.
Yeah.
That's their 9-to-5.
Right.
So it's got to, like, if their colleagues are dying right and left, I don't think you would see a lot of flight attendants.
That is correct.
So that's one thing.
Definitely don't underestimate the excitement of this conversation, because I know nothing about engineering. Mm-hmm. I just know that it's a good major to have in college.
Yeah.
Like, what does that mean, stress test floorboards?
Stress test.
On floorboards.
How
could you explain that to someone who...
Who doesn't know anything? No. Let's see, you have...
Who doesn't even know anything about my own culture.
Right. So basically I worked on the 747. That mm-hmm. plane's been around for a while.
Yeah, I know What's the difference between 747 and 57 and 67?
They're just different sizes and different specifications.
Okay. Like,
so 747, yeah, that's a model. It's sort of like there's a Mercedes-Benz, and they come out with a new C-class every so often, right?
So when you take a flight, do you prefer to be on a specific number?
I don't care.
You
no,
don't care?
No, 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 yeah. So just whatever is the cheapest.
Right.
So I'll... whenever they're trying to update a new, like they're trying to make a new 747, it's the 747-8.
Mm-hmm.
So they have the old model, and then they want this plane to do better things because it's the new model. So they want it to carry more weight.
Mm-hmm.
They want it to seat more people. So basically you have to take these new constraints, like the new weight, and run it through the old model or the new model if they extend it,
mm-hmm.
and see where there's failures. So... maybe they're adding more seats and that's going to put too much torque on this thing. Or so then you have to beef up the part. Like you'll run the loads through the geometry mm-hmm. of the part and then you see where it fails. So you got, so you say, hey, you talk to design group, you go, I'm getting negative margins here. I need you to make this an inch thicker, and then design will beef it up in the design. Or you'll say these fasteners don't hold, or I need you to increase the fastener or change the fastener's material to something else that's a little more sturdy.
Mm-hmm.
And then that goes back because there's a lot of things to check throughout the plane. So there's a lot of floor beams. There's a lot of fasteners. So you do that over time, and then you work with design and they change the model. And sometimes design will come back. They'll go, we can't give you an inch. We can give you half an inch because they've got some other design requirements. So then you figure out how to make it work with giving them an inch, maybe use a different material, or a half inch, you do a different material.
Do you ever worry that if you give them an inch that...
a model? I do worry about that.
Okay, so knowing all of this testing that you were there hands-on involved in, does that make you feel like flying is safe because you see how intense the testing was?
Yeah, and there's real big margins of safety when it comes to these planes as well.
Yeah.
And they run it through so many load cases. They'll mm-hmm. have like a takeoff load case. They'll have a heavy wind load case.
Mm-hmm.
Just thousands of load cases for this plane that will experience over time.
Right.
So, yeah, the margin of safety and the myriad of load cases that they have to test the plane. And they've been doing it for a long time. The plane, the airplane... you're not reinventing the wheel.
Mm-hmm. So even when a new style of plane comes out, that doesn't...
There's just so much history that, like, yeah, it's not like a hovercraft that you don't want to be the first guy to buy a jetpack.
Right.
Right.
So do you feel completely not afraid of flying?
No, I mean, if there's heavy turbulence, you can't help but...
feel scared, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I always feel like I am just... technically just a little animal, and like I'm not supposed to be in the air.
Like, yeah, every time you're in the sky you're like, this is an affront to God.
Yeah.
And then when there's turbulence you're like, he doesn't like this.
Well, it's more like if you put a puppy in a swimming pool,
uh-huh.
he could swim, but he'd be like, I'm not supposed to be in the swimming pool. I'm a puppy. I'm supposed to be in the land. Mm. And that's how I feel in the air. I'm like,
can puppies swim though?
I think they can. I think all dogs, you put them in the water and they swim. And like, I guess maybe it's not the perfect analogy,
right.
But my point is like,
what if you put a puppy in a submarine? Then I think that would.
Yeah. Well, okay. What if you put a puppy on a plane?
Somewhere chill. But they don't know. They're not aware.
No, but a little animal is not supposed to be flying in the air in a machine. Mm-hmm. And that's how I feel. It's like,
So you're a puppy. What we're learning is that you identify as a puppy.
I'm not supposed to be in this machine flying. It doesn't feel safe to me because I'm a creature who likes the grass. I like to pee in the grass.
Yeah.
And drink my water out of a bowl on the floor.
What's the alternative? Sometimes you have to, right?
Yeah. So that is why that's what my response to you saying that you don't like turbulence is, like, we don't like it because it's fucking scary. We're not supposed to be in the sky.
You're just in a Coke can in the sky.
Isn't it true that turbulence is not dangerous at all?
Yeah. Like, mm-hmm. yeah, there's load cases for turbulence and it's just rough air. And but if it's really bad, I mean, you're not quite sure.
What?
No, I'm not saying you're going to die or anything, but I'm saying nobody likes turbulence. That's all.
That was so cryptic.
Yeah, this whole podcast has just been It's just a riddle for you to figure out when it comes to flying.
I do believe you, and I do feel scared.
Yeah.
Do people racially profile against you because you're...
brown?
Yeah.
No, like, yeah. And I guess I'm kind of lucky in that I don't look super Middle Eastern, I guess.
Right.
Some people don't even know. Some people think I'm... I was in Miami. Everyone's just speaking Spanish to me.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, yeah. Or some people think I'm Italian, or some people think I'm Jewish. So I don't know if my experience is truly indicative of the brown experience, because maybe I've been let off a bit because maybe I'm lighter or my features aren't.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think after 9/11, it was a little harder to fly.
Why?
Just I would travel with my family, and they would have to look at our IDs, and they'd have to go in the back room for a while and then come out.
Wait, really?
Yeah, yeah.
Hmm.
I always thought it was funny, like we're a suicide family. We're doing this together. Like, I had this joke, like, I want my parents to come see me on my first explosion. I'm really good. Just hop on this flight with me. See me in action.
That's really funny.
Yeah. Like, I understand if I'm flying on my own, you want to check my ID, but we're a family. Like, you think that we're like the Partridge Family of terror?
Oh my God. Do you have siblings?
I have a brother. Yeah.
Okay. What does he do?
Dentist.
Is he available?
No, he's married.
I'm no, sorry. I meant to look at my teeth.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Does he live
sure.
close by?
No, he's in Seattle. But...
wait, why are so... wait, oh, you're you're
Afghan, yeah.
Yeah. But my dentist is Iranian.
Well, that's the thing. I think back in the day, it was always engineer or doctor was the go-to brown profession.
Yeah.
And it's opened up to dentists. There's a lot of dentists.
How
now.
Do you relate to Iranian people? Yeah.
They're like cousins, kind of, because uh-huh. we're neighbors, Afghanistan and Iran, and we speak the same language.
Uh-huh.
But theirs is a little different. Like, we speak Dari, and they speak Farsi, and, like, I think written, it's the same, but when spoken, theirs is more sing-songy. Like, oh, no, 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 no. Like, I'm not, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, yeah, yeah. Ours is just more direct, more staccato.
Okay.
So if an Iranian person is speaking, I'll pick out a few things, but it's hard for me. Because Dari is even hard for me to, because I don't know it as well as I should.
I see. You didn't grow up with it.
I mean, my parents speak it, but we just didn't speak it in the house.
Does your family live close by?
Seattle.
Oh, okay.
So not too far.
So you're the only one that left.
Yeah. I got out.
Of Seattle, yeah. That awful place. Uh-huh. Isn't Seattle like amazing?
It's great. Yeah, yeah, it's beautiful.
Well, this has been like such a random chat, but yeah. I'm the most selfish interviewer because I'm just asking all the questions I want to know.
The best way.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you think I did a good job?
Yeah. I mean, I think we really explored some great areas.
I feel like you got a little mad at me when I was asking you about engineering.
No, just because sometimes people will ask and I don't know how receptive they really are to hearing the nitty and gritty because it's so dry.
It is. You're right. But I think that because I was able to selfishly make it about me
and
connect
fear.
It to my needs.
So it's less about my experiences and background and more about quelling your fears of flying.
Yes.
You're like, how does your life experience relate to me?
So that's cool. But I'm so fucking excited that you finally have a special and it's on CISO and
Thank
it's
you.
Available now.
Yeah.
And CISO has, I think they do like, they're very generous about free trials, right?
Yeah, I think if you type in my last name, Anwar, A-N-W-A-R,
it's easy
I wonder
to find.
If it's still good or not. But they have tons of promo codes all the time to get a free month.
Yeah, I know we've done promotions
for
them.
Bill Burr just did a promo for them. So if you type his name in, you might get a free month.
Yeah, I think they're super easy to get.
And if you go through Amazon, I think you just get a free week trial.
Okay.
Regardless.
And also, I have an episode of the UCB show that's available on CISO. So all the more reason to check it out. And I think...
they've got some cool people on there. You know, Stanhope was on there.
Yeah, they have
Brent
all
Weinbach.
The cool
I can't
specials.
Wait for his to come out.
Oh, he did a special?
Yeah, I think it comes out in April. I'm just to see that.
It's definitely worth checking out, especially to see your stand-up special, because... if you guys like stand-up, Fahim is the person to see. And it's weird because he's sitting right here.
Yeah.
But it's not that weird because it's so good.
I open with talking about engineering.
Do you really?
No. I just tell you exactly what I did. I go, then we go to design group and...
When are you usually at the Comedy Store? Because I never get to see you.
I'm there maybe like 3 times a week.
Oh, wow.
Like maybe a Friday, maybe a Thursday, Friday.
Okay.
Thursday, Friday, Saturday around.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Like, if you follow the Comedy Store on Twitter or Instagram.
They're really
good about
that.
Yeah, they always post
that.
Who's on the show.
Yeah. Cool. Well, thank you for coming by.
Thanks for having me.
This is really fun.
Yeah.
You are like one of the OG podcast
OG,
guests.
Man. Yeah, from the start.
That, I would have no idea.
That podcast, we talked about me dancing for way too long.
Did we?
We talked about, yeah. It was so funny. It was like an hour of just dancing. And I'm like, I'm not a dancer.
But you are. Oh, wait, I think we talked about how like I'm classically trained and you're from the streets.
Yeah, I'm from the streets.
There's something there.
Yeah, maybe that's part two for whoever hears this one and wants to dig deep.
And hear how good of an interviewer I really am.
Yeah, see how far we've come.
All right, thanks everybody.
Feral Audio.
Hey everybody, this is Kyle, the host of Never Seen It, the podcast where I have comedians rewrite famous movies and TV shows they've never seen, and then we read them in studio. This is a clip from Top Gun, which was rewritten and never seen by comedian Caleb Sinan. I think you're really going to like it. Check it out.
All right. Interior. This movie takes place inside. Interior. The Army. I don't know if that's what
there are. I think the Lopers never put a question mark in the location.
Yeah, it says interior, the Army?
I think the Army. Daytime. That's when most of the Army. All right. Tom Cruise walks into a big Army building. There's flags and Army men and manila folders that say top secret on them. It's the goddamn Army, that's for sure. Tom Cruise walks to the Army man break room and kicks in the door. Tom Cruise.
I'm fucking Tom Cruise!
A general with a general hat comes over to Tom Cruise. He's got a cigar in his mouth, and he's a grizzled man. He's been a general for 50 years, and he don't take guff from nobody, especially pretty boys like you.
Look here, I'm a general.
I wouldn't have made us say what characters we were if I knew the first line everyone had was their name.
I also love that it's the Army. I mean, like, even if you haven't seen the movie, you know it's about planes, right?
Yeah, it's the Air Force for sure.
All right.
No, I didn't say top Air Force or top plane.
Lead back in.
Call it plane.
Give us it, especially pretty boys.
He's a general for 50 years, and he don't take guff from nobody, especially pretty boys like you.
Look here, I'm a general. I got a cigar, and I'm grizzled. I've been a general for 50 years, and I don't take guff from pretty boys like you.
Wow. I feel like I know a lot about your character already.
Shut up, there's more. And I don't care who the hell you are. This is the Army. You can't say fuck. When you say fuck, we say hell high.
The general and Tom Cruise stare at each other for a beat and then both burst out laughing.
Okay, I think I'm gonna like it here.
The general and Tom Cruise do a cool, very loud handshake, and the camera zooms in on their gigantic, veiny biceps.
Welcome to the danger zone, bitch.
All right, exterior. We're outside now. On the beach, daytime. Tom Cruise and Kenny Loggins are walking down the beach. They're shirtless. They got hairy chests. They don't have erections, but everybody else does. Even babies. That's right. These dudes are hot. Anyway, there's a bunch of Army men around.
God.
It's the first time that's ever been appropriate for the directions to say, anyways.
Anyway, there's a bunch of Army men around, and the general's there, too.
Want entertainment designed just for you? Then check out customizable streaming TV from Xfinity. It makes your life simple, easy, awesome.
Xfinity gives you customizable streaming TV options. Enjoy the most free shows anywhere on any device, and even access your streaming apps right on your TV with X1. Go to Xfinity.com, call 1-800-XFINITY, or visit a store today to learn more. Restrictions apply.